Okay, kiddos, come on and join me up here. All right, I've got a project for you today, okay? I want you to pretend that you don't know me, and I know nothing about Jesus. Nothing at all about Jesus. I've come from a place where I've never heard of Jesus, don't know anything about him, and you want to witness to me and tell me about Jesus so I can come to him. What are you going to tell me?
That Jesus, forgives
me. Forgives me? Why do I need to be forgiven? Oh, I do bad things? Have you been watching me?
Stalker.
Have you been watching me?
Stalker. Oh, yeah.
Jackson?
We are all sinful.
Huh?
We are all sinful.
Everybody?
Yes.
But even your mama?
Yes.
Can you tell me a few of your mama's sins? No, I guess not. Jackson, you're a faithful son. Okay. Well, all right. What does it mean to be sinful? Jimmy?
Like to do something bad or not supposed to.
Okay. Yeah, I do some bad things sometimes. I think some bad things. All right. Will?
And the only one who never did a sin in this world was Jesus Christ.
How do you know that? Who's Jesus anyway?
A man.
Not just any man? Who is he?
He is the Son of God.
Jackson?
The Son of God, capital G.
Okay. Man. And so y'all believe in God, right?
Jesus and.
Do all y'all believe in God?
Yes.
All right. Well, what have I got to, okay, so I'm a sinner. There's God. What do I have to do? Do I have to join a club or something? What?
No.
Huh?
You just have to ask.
Ask who and ask what?
Pray the Lord and ask him to come into your heart.
Oh, ask God to come into my heart. Oh.
Yes.
It's starting to make sense.
If I pray, he will come.
And he'll come.
And forgive you.
All right. Was that very hard? I think y'all did a real good job. Now, listen, let's give them a big hand. They did a real good job. In fact, I think they did a better job than some of what I've heard y'all try to do. Here's the deal. Do y'all have people in your life, kids in your life, that aren't in church, that really don't know about Jesus, people in your neighborhood, people, you do? Does everybody have? Okay. Well, let me ask you, how are they going to know about Jesus unless you tell them?
I have been telling them.
All right, I want you to keep on doing it.
Yep, I'm planning.
Everybody in your neighborhood, and invite them to come to church with you. So they can come and they can be a part of this. They can be a part of Kids Zone. You go back there and you have prayer time, you have Bible study time, you have a Bible memory time. All of that right back there. And they can have that too. So let's invite them. And a lot of them are thinking about coming to church right now because next Sunday's Palm Sunday and then Resurrection Sunday. Okay, let's pray for our friends right now that don't know Jesus, okay? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we pray for all of our friends, us younger folks up here and the older folks out there. We have a lot of friends and family who are separated from you, Lord, and they need you in their lives. And I pray, Lord, we'll be obedient to you and share the good news that Jesus will come into their lives and forgive them and make them new people. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all go to Kids Zone now. It's so good to see you today. Thank y'all, all of you that came out to help us with our work day last week and the week before, and then yesterday, the host of people that were here. It was a wonderful thing to see. A lot of things got done. We got a lot more to do, but God bless you, and thank you, Kathy and Becky, for putting together that plan for us, and plan worked very well. We have a guest today with us, way in the back, sitting by Barbara. You know her as Bobby. David, glad to have you back today. And we made fun of you. We made jokes at your expense. I'm just admitting all of it while you were gone. Jana, you've got some special folks with you today. Who do you have? From where? Jones County.
Wow.
And what is Jones County? I'm giving you a chance. I thought you'd say the best county in the world. Michael's getting ready to go back to Haiti and then maybe to Africa after that. We'll see. It is very good to see Finley here. He's in the back there. And then the chopped liver, his parents, the paterfamilias and his wife, Craig and Megan, glad to have y'all today. And it's good to see all of you here today. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then Resurrection Sunday, and I encourage you, be praying about the people you want to invite. They're open to an invitation at this time of year. On that Resurrection Sunday, they can come here, and then we'll just gypsy on over to the park after our worship service, have a great time together. It will be if you brought a person, a family that's unchurched, that, because you know what the topic of the day is going to be. It's going to be the resurrection. We're going to talk about that, talk about the gospel. And they're going to have the gospel plainly presented to them while they're here. And then you'd have a chance in the park, sitting around, just to discuss what they heard during the day. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Well, ideas are only as good as their execution. But let's get busy with it, okay? All right. Today we continue with our series that we've been doing both at 9:30 and at 11, Battle for Jesus, Battle for You. And today's installment 4, and we're going to talk about Pontius Pilate today. And the question is, can you wash your hands of Jesus? Now, I need 3 volunteers to stand up and read. Who's our first volunteer? We're going to read the four Gospels. There are 4 different views of the story of Jesus. I don't know why I've just started choking. So let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that you'll just take this away. And let me clearly present what you've put on my heart for today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have 3 of the gospel accounts of the story with Pilate. It's also in Mark. I've got Luke and Matthew and John. And they're just 3 different, these are the 4 gospels are the 4 views of his story and why he came. And there are bits of information that you get from each one. So I want you to hear these today. Volunteer to read the Luke account. Come on up here, Ted.
Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." So Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "It is as you say." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they kept on insisting, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching all over Judea, starting from Galilee, even as far as this place." When Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. Now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted him to see, he wanted to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he was questioned, and he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes were standing there accusing him vehemently. And Herod with his soldiers, after treating him with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Now Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before they had been enemies with each other. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites to the people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." Now he was obliged to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, "Away with this man, and release for us Barabbas." He was one who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept on calling out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt, demanding death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But they were insistent with loud voices, asking that he be crucified. And their voices began to prevail. And Pilate pronounced sentence that their demand be granted. And he released the man they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, but he delivered Jesus to their will.
Thank you, Ted. All right. Next one, John, from Matthew. Matthew 27, need a volunteer. Come on, Stace. It's funny, we only usually read a few verses of the Bible in a worship service. When's the last time we've read this much of the Bible in a worship service? Why don't you read from the back there? Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified.
A few more details about the story. Now the John passage. Who's going to read it? Really helping me out here today. Saving my voice. Mikey, come on. Guys, read this. Girls, read that.
Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Stace. Mikey. You can also read the Mark passage. If you have a study Bible, or a Bible with a center column of references, you'll see there it refers to these parallel passages. And I encourage you to read the Word. It's there. Read the Word. Get the whole picture. You know, if Audrey, Pam, Terry, and I saw the same event and we had an eyewitness report, we would tell the story a little bit differently, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the Gospels do. They don't contradict one another. They enhance one another. All right. I want you to see all of this because there are parts in each of these passages that we'll refer to in the message today. Put that chart up for me, John. I want you to see this. We're going to talk about Pilate in just a moment, but Jesus went through 6 trials. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. He was tried 6 times, 6 different ways. 3 religious trials by the Jews, Annas, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin. In each case, the religious people found him what? Guilty. There were the times, the middle of the night, that was illegal. They shouldn't have been meeting at that time. All sorts of things wrong with that in the place. And then 3 civil trials. Once by Pilate. Pilate says he's innocent. Then he sends him over to Herod. Herod, who's also a Roman appointment. So he fits in the civil category. And then back to Pilate for the 6th trial. In each case, the civil trials, they found that he was innocent. Innocent. Interesting. Now, hang on to your boots here. We're going to move fast. Who was Pilate? Pilate was the 5th Roman prefect over the province of Judea. He was under direct appointment by the emperor Tiberius. He served in Judea from 26 AD to 36 AD. Now, depending on when you put Jesus' birth, and we'd probably put Jesus' birth anywhere from about 2 BC to 4 BC, somewhere in there. I haven't got time to explain that to you, how that works backward for you. So, Pilate was definitely the man that was on the job. He had a reputation of difficulty with religious groups. In fact, when he was recalled to Rome by Emperor Tiberius, he was being recalled and replaced by Marcellus. You remember that in the Charlton Heston movie. Marcellus has a big role in that movie, that he was recalled there, and Tiberius died before Pilate returned to Rome. And we know he was married. Okay, so what was his relationship to Jesus? Well, because of his position as this Roman ruler, he had to listen to the Jewish Sanhedrin and their accusations against Jesus. The Roman plan was to move in, take over, and use the local people as much as possible. So he was to be the buffer person, the person that made it all work. And so that's why he has to have this relationship with the Sanhedrin. And that brought him into conflict with Jesus, because what had been happening now for 3 years? There'd been a conflict with Jesus. Jesus comes out, and people are saying, he's the Son of God. And for the Jew, they're looking at him and they're saying, there's no way he's the Messiah. He can't be the Messiah. He's not the Messiah we're looking for. He's not the one that we're looking for that's going to come back and be our Savior. And yet as we look back and we see, he was at every point the Messiah, as we had it pointed out to us by young Jackson just a few moments ago. Secondly, Pilate had to sit in judgment of Jesus. That was his place. The Jews brought him, the Sanhedrin, the 70 group, brought him to, brought Jesus to Pilate because they had no way of disciplining Jesus. They couldn't perform an execution. So they bring Jesus to Pilate to do their bidding. Third, we see that as we answer this question, what is his relationship with Jesus? He feared an uprising of the people. He wanted to keep that down. You know, here's this Messiah. Let me ask you, were there others in that day before and after Jesus that were proclaimed Messiah? Do y'all know? Yes, there were many. Many that were proclaimed. And they flamed out. But there was something different about Jesus. And so it was his job to keep the uprising of the people. And he saw this proclamation of a Messiah that would run out the Romans as a threat. Number four. When he does sit in judgment of Jesus, what is his conclusion? The man's innocent. They present their argument, the Sanhedrin. And by the way, when they go into the praetorium, since it was a special time for them, they were not allowed to go in. That's why the scripture says that Pilate came out to talk to them. You need to understand what every word in the scripture is there for. They couldn't go in there because of the day that it was. He had to come out to speak to them. But he looks at Jesus and he sees he's innocent. That's why he sends him on to Herod. Everybody is wanting to do this. They want to kick the can down the road about Jesus. Now, the Jewish leaders, of course, in kicking the can down the road, they want the road to end with the death of Jesus. The rest of these people don't care. The civil leaders, in reality, they're just looking at him as some other, just another Messiah that has come up. All right? Number five, he allows expediency to rule his life. I want to stop there just a second. You know what expediency is? Well, I'm just going to do this because this is it's the easiest thing to do. There's the least amount of pushback, and I might have to compromise some of my principles, but I'll get through to do it. What does that sound like? Does that sound like America? Do you? So we have a lot in common with this word expediency, don't we? Do you know our city has a lot in common with that word? You read the history of Savannah and you'll find out that a lot of decisions were made in the city because of expediency. Okay, let's go to our next question. Was Pilate able to wash his hands of Jesus? Now remember, get the picture now. The Sanhedrin has more or less, this Jewish ruling body of 70, they have more or less trapped him. They have wound up the people. Do you see that happening in political rallies today? Whichever side or whatever issue you stand on, it's happening everywhere. There'll be people that are there, they're trying to sway the crowd one way or the other. It's happening back then. You know, think back just a few days before these things were happening. You're on Palm Sunday, and what are the people doing on Palm Sunday? What are they shouting out as Jesus comes into Jerusalem? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to sing that next Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes in the city, palm branches, all of that. But by the time of this day comes around, man, they have changed. The religious leaders are priming the pump. Crucify him. Crucify him. You know, isn't it amazing that they were ready with another person's name already? You know, it was custom for the Roman leader to release a captive on that day, on their feast, that they would release one of the Jewish prisoners. And Pilate's thinking, man, I've got a way out. He is a consummate politician. Man, I can satisfy the Sanhedrin and say, yes, I've pronounced him guilty, but on the other hand, I can go ahead and pardon him and release him on the other hand. I can please both sides. That's a politician's dream, isn't it? He can speak out of both sides of his mouth and be right with all the people and keep them all satisfied. But the Sanhedrin was already waiting on him there. So when he shouts out, you know, okay, I'll release somebody to you, who do they shout out? Jesus. Barabbas. And the scripture says, John said, and he was a robber. A low-down, good-for-nothing. Of course, that's all of us around the cross, isn't it? Okay, so he brings out a vessel there, a bowl. He had heard from his wife, and we'll get to that in just a moment, a dream about, says, don't touch this guy. And he tries to wash his hands publicly of Jesus. That is the root of that. In all of literature, when you use that phrase, washing your hand, this is where it comes from. Hey, young people, that'll be on a test. And you heard it here. All right. Was he able to wash his hands of Jesus? Number one, he thought himself above Jesus. Because when he looks at Jesus, he looks at him like he's just another religious person out there. But boy, does he get a different answer when he starts to interview Jesus. Secondly, he comes into, he realizes he was in a battle over the identity of Jesus. We read those in the gospel accounts about, are you a king? And he said, you've said it. And remember, when Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate, he sends him back with a robe. And then when Jesus leaves Pilate, he's got that purple robe on, and what else has he got? They put a crown of thorns on him. Do you see the mockery and how close the mockery, though, gets to the truth. Hang in here with me. How mockery gets close to the truth. Because the things that we mock the most are the things that drive deeper to our soul. Watch it on TV. Watch it on anything that where you have the movie stars that are being questioned, you know, lightweight interviews on these late night talk shows, and they're throwing them these softball, and really they can just say whatever they want to, and then they'll get very passionate about something, and when mockery starts to come from their lips, what does that reveal of their soul? Yeah, fear has been there. It's been touched. There's an arrow there. There's something that deeply is touching them. So here's Pilate. He doesn't expect that he's going to be in a battle over this Messiah. Number three. He tries to dodge the battle. And he says, well, at the end of the discussion, he said, well, what is truth anyway? How many times have you heard that? Huh? When you've been talking to people about Jesus? Well, what's real anyway? This is real stuff. You can really prove Jesus really did live. He really did die. He really did rise from the dead. Fact, 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 fact. Let me tell you, you'll hear this again in 2 weeks, but if they could have disproved it, any of it at that time, they would have published volumes at the time because it was in their interest to disprove everything about this cult called Christianity. But they couldn't do it, and they didn't do it. Number four. Pilate couldn't see the truth standing in front of him. Here's the Son of God standing right there, and he can't see him. But yet he is disturbed by him. Read the context. That's why I had us read those verses. So you'd have to deal with it. Deal with the story. It is God's inerrant word. You read the story. There it is, plain in front of your face. Number five. He received special revelation through a dream given by God to his wife. What happens? He's in there in the interview with Jesus, sitting on the judgment seat. Imagine that, sitting on the judgment seat over Jesus. It's damnable. It's damnable. And he gets word from his wife. She is distraught. She's had this dream. And she tells him, you cannot find this man guilty. So here you have special revelation. You have signs and wonders. You have something that comes to an unbeliever from God. By the way, footnote out to the side right now. Is that happening around the world right now? I can tell you, Muslims right now, these stories don't get out. Muslims, right in Iran, it's happening. It's happening every day right now. Muslims are getting visions. They're having dreams about Yeshua, about Jesus. He is coming and he is speaking to them. It's real. God was doing it then. But what does Pilate do with the information he gets? He thinks he can wash his hands of Jesus. I find no fault in this man, but yet kick the can down the road. He attempts it with this ceremony, number six, hiding behind the ceremony to deny his responsibility. How many times have we hidden behind ceremony to deny responsibility? Well, I can't do that, you know. I'm a member of this over here. I can't do that. You know, my first cousin through marriage, and it was a second marriage, I can't do it. You know how that would be. We hide behind ceremony instead of just speaking the truth. Finally, number 7, he could not wash his hands of Jesus. Now, what about you? Your view of Jesus does matter. What do you think about him? How do you see him? Let me tell you, when you tell me your view of Jesus, I'll tell you what your worldview is. When you tell me, when you're serious and tell me to the heart, hard rock about Jesus, I can tell you what your worldview is. Because they go together. Is he liar, Lord, or lunatic? Number 2. You're in a battle. You're in a battle right now. Everything in our culture is trying to knock Jesus down and knock down anyone that belongs to him. And he is coming with fire to your heart and soul and revealing himself. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for life, battle for ourselves, a battle every day for truth. Just look, just watch the evening news, 1 30-minute time. Just watch it and count the number of spin doctors there are for things that you know is a lie. You know it's a lie. And I'm not talking about one or the other. I'm talking about all of them. The whole bit. Number 3, you cannot hide. There must be a decision about Jesus. You can't just keep kicking it down the road. Is he going to be a part of your life? So you teenagers in high school right now, you go off to college. And tell you what's going to be on assault when you get there. Is your faith. It hadn't changed. It was that way when I was in college. Now, there are a few colleges around where that doesn't happen. But for the most part, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a throwdown. It's going to be a throwdown in the classroom. It's going to be a throwdown outside of the classroom. What are you going to do? You've got to decide what you will do with Jesus. Number 4, Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. I probably made a few of you a little upset. I'd love to talk to you about some of these things. Not everything. I don't speak ex cathedra. You know, I'm not the Pope. The Pope isn't the Pope either. But some of y'all will get that later on. He doesn't speak ex cathedra. What he says is not infallible. But what this word says is infallible. That's why we read a lot of it today. The Holy Spirit's here right now. And he's pricking your heart. He's drawing you to himself because he wants to build you up, not tear you down. He wants to bring you together with the Lord, not push you apart. Number 5. The Lord has been the process of revealing himself to you. Has that been happening? Can you go back in your life and see the places where God has been speaking to you? He's speaking to you today. He's been speaking to you for a long time. What's he been saying? Let me tell you, the people in your life, your friends, your family, the ones that you think that are far away from the Lord, God's been speaking to them too. That's why you need to join the conversation in their lives and speak the truth to them. If you have to, use words. To quote St. Francis of Assisi. Because for some of us, our actions are speaking so loud they can't hear a word we're saying. Number 6, what are you hiding behind? Imagine the fifth prefect of Judea trying to hide behind a little bowl of water and absolve himself of responsibility. Is that not asinine? Look that word up. What are you hiding behind? Well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. Get a life. It's the truth. You got to deal with it. What are you going to do? Number seven, finally, you can't wash your hands of Jesus, can you? You got to make some kind of decision about him. And here I am, the preacher. He can bring salvation to your life. Do you want it or not want it? He can bring healing to your physical body. Do you want it or not want it? He can bring healing to your emotions, to your mind, and all that. Do you want it or not want it? He can bring deliverance from the power of the enemy. Curses that have been on your family, that have been in your system, your family. He can deliver you from that. He can deliver you from your past and all the things where we've given place to the evil one and to his minions. He can deliver you from that. Do you want it or not? That's all I got to say. Let's pray and we'll open the altar. Jesus, you are Lord over all. You're Lord of life and Lord of death. You're Lord over everything that will come against us. You're Lord over the sin that would damn us forever in separation from you. And you're the captain of our salvation who would deliver us from evil and give us a brand new life. Thank you for your love today. Holy Spirit, you are wooing us today. You are drawing us to Jesus. Let us now, Lord, respond to you in faith. Come, Holy Spirit. Move us now. The altar's open. Pastors will be here to pray with you. God's speaking to you. You want to pray with some of us? You want to come pray by yourself? You want to sit where you are and pray? You want us to come and pray there? You want to pray afterwards? We're available. You cannot wash your hands of Jesus. You got to decide. Are you going to let him be Lord of all or not Lord at all? What will it be? The altar's open. We'd like to get those cards from you. There are baskets up here and basket in the back. And if you have an offering to bring, you can bring that too at this time. Look this way, if you will. This stuff on my face is about driving me crazy. And it's about driving my wife crazy, but it is reminding me to listen to the Lord. There's a fresh breeze blowing. Now you got to decide if you're going to put your sail up or stay dead in the water. It's time to put up your sail. God's moving. We want to move with him, don't we? I want to pray for you. Now, Lord told me to pray for healing. Does anybody need physical healing right now in their life? How about emotional healing? All right. All right. Well, let's just open our hands to heaven like this. That means I'm willing to receive, Lord, what you put in my hands. And if you're going to put healing in my hand, I'm going to receive it right now. So let's pray. Lord, we're asking you right now, bring your healing. I'm asking you for revelation. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Show us that, Lord, as we look and we look at you face to face. Come, Lord. Come with healing. Come with physical healing. Lord, those who are in pain right now, I pray you will rebuke that pain. Lord, those who have internal things that are going on right now, Lord, that you'll put that back together. Those who have skin issues right now, that you'll do the, those that are healing, Lord, your healing problem, we pray you will speed that up right now. And for those who are dealing with the injuries of the soul, of the emotion and the mind, Lord, we're praying, God, right now that you'll put Humpty Dumpty back together again and make us whole. In Jesus' name. If you received this prayer today, would you say amen out loud?
Amen.
All right. God bless you. And I love you. I'll see you at the door.